Kevin Scotta, AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
All right, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 56, part 2 of a 3-part episode.
And John, we have two very special guests with us this evening.
We do?
Erica.
Hello.
This is her 4th appearance. And the Papooch.
Hello.
This All is right. his first appearance.
Do you really call it an appearance or a showing?
It's a drive-by.
Yeah, I guess showing is better. Let's call it a showing from now on, John.
No,
make a note
really,
of that.
It's not really appearance. We're not on TV.
Yeah, it's a showing.
No.
Like you're a horse.
Here, check this out.
Okay, never mind. Douchebag.
If you're just joining us, I'm John. He's Scott.
Is that it?
That's it. That's from last week. I was listening to it. It killed me. I was hurt.
I'm like, if you're just joining us, I'm John. He's Scott.
And that's when the food came out my nose.
Yeah, but I like it in episode 50 where Ed said, I'm John, and I got to say I'm Scott.
No, he didn't. Never mind. Have another drink.
All right, then. So as promised, we're going to play some punky clips. And also, I am going to prove that God does not exist.
Prove.
Right here.
Right here.
On this show.
56, part 2.
On 6-11, 2006.
But before we get to that, now I listened to Punky. Punky had a 666 episode just like we did, John.
Oh, by the way, I don't want to rudely interrupt, but happy birthday, Scott.
Thank you, John.
Happy birthday, Scott.
Thank you. Okay. So,
did you call him on his birthday?
If you're just joining us, I'm John. He's Scott.
Go ahead.
Punky. Had a 666 episode.
Punky.
On 6-7.
On 6-7. It came out late, but it was the 666 episode. Actually, it was more of a World Cup episode. Have anybody been following the World Cup?
No, but I heard that the UK beat Paraguay.
And they didn't even score a goal.
And, yeah.
Well, no, they scored their own goal or some shit.
Bend it like Beckham knocked it off some Paraguay's head, and it went in their goal.
Their own goal.
So they won 1-0. But I did find out that England is favored to be in the final.
Mm, right. And I heard the American announcers ripping on Beckham, saying he's old. That's why he's in the middle, because he can't run. All so right. He's playing center. So
yeah, he's out on the field, okay? And the announcers are where? Up in the booth. That's right.
So what do they say when... never mind. I'm not going to address that right now. I don't want to ruin your...
ruin what?
We already digressed.
You're on a roll.
I'm not on a roll. All right, so now this first punky clip I'm going to play here.
What are these fucking noises?
I'm going to ask, we have John, you haven't heard Punky yet. Eric, I don't know if you have or not.
Nope.
And the Papooch, you listen to Punky?
I do. I have not listened to this
one. Okay, I haven't listened to the latest one. Okay, here's what happens. Paulie B tells a joke. It's kind of a long clip. He tells a joke, but Tony Hearn ruins his joke.
Ruins the joke.
So then he tells it again.
All right.
It took me like 6 listens before I even got the joke. So that's one thing, but go ahead and play the first clip.
Are you going to interpret after?
Yes.
All right.
Well, one of the bells needs some work doing. So for the next few weeks, you're not going to hear...
He's talking about Big Ben.
Because otherwise, with that one in there, you go, bing, bong,
right,
bong, 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 bong. Like, it'd be rubbish. Mm. So they're not going to actually play the tune. They're just going to have... On the hour, it's just going to go at 1 o'clock, bong. And then at 2 o'clock, it'll just go, bong, bong, and then at 3 o'clock it'll go bong, 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 and how many bongs will there be at 4 o'clock?
I don't know, but I definitely have lost the will to live.
No, well, please, mate, you fucked my joke up, you cunt. Right, we're going through it again now. So at 1 o'clock it'll go bong, right? Then at 2 o'clock it'll go bong, bong, and then at 3 o'clock it'll go bong, bong, bong. But how many bongs will be at 4 o'clock?
4.
No, there won't be any bongs at all, because we'll have done 6 bongs already. We'll be fucked! Oh. See, that would have been a great joke if you hadn't pissed it up, you wank, fucking wank pot.
All right, so you can stop that. All right, do you guys get the joke?
Yeah.
All right, it took me six listens to get the six bong reference.
I got it after the first bong, what he was going for.
I didn't get it at all.
Yeah, I didn't get into
it. But I thought Tony's punchline was even better.
I've lost the will to live.
Well, Paulie B, go ahead and play the next clip because Paulie B got completely
bent out of shape.
Is this
Punky now? Is this the Punky Analyze show?
It is the
what?
Punky Analyze all right. show.
To all break right. it down.
You can't do it without me. You can't fucking do it without me. You fuck up my joke. You can't do it without
like
me.
Like a 6 year old.
That's quite right too. I built that joke up and you just fucked it.
I thought he made it better.
You're sitting so there sulking like a 6 year old.
So what happened is Paulie B just stopped talking and then he came in and he said, you can't do it without me. And they really got into it. And after that, Tony Hearn shut down. And there was some tension.
That sounds very familiar.
It does sound familiar. So now, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, I've heard, I don't know how many episodes of Punky. They've never had tension until the 666 episode, John.
Oh, right.
So I went back.
Like 30 episodes or so?
Who knows? So I went back right before this exchange, and I found this artifact. Go ahead and play the next clip. Now, listen closely.
Number three, right?
Yes.
All right.
On the young ones, they did a brilliant spoof of the advert.
Yeah.
Which just said, think once, think twice, think don't drive your car on the pavement. So.
What the fuck was that? Well, that's just a, did you hear that artifact?
Yeah.
And so what I spent a lot of time analyzing that. What I had to do is I had to flip it because it was backwards. I had to slow it down.
In your audio lab.
In my audio lab, right. And get this, man. The reason they went after each other is because Satan was in the studio with
him. Present.
I don't mean to laugh. It's
was
serious.
Because it was the 666 episode, John.
Right, right.
So now go ahead and play the last clip and let's hear what Satan had to say to Punky.
All right.
Paulie B sucks cocked in hell. Tony Hearn ruins jokes and is a flat-faced wank pot.
There you have it.
Wow.
That was a lot of analysis.
Wait, let me hear that again. Can we play that again?
Play it again.
All right, play that again.
Paulie B sucks cocked in hell. Tony Hearn ruins jokes and is a flat-faced wank pot.
Wait a minute. Tony Hearn does what? Tony Hearn, what?
Did you hear the Paulie B part?
Yeah.
And then I think, here's what I think he says. I had to listen to it a lot.
If you heard Satan right.
If you heard Satan right.
If I heard Satan right.
Because it's not like God. If it was God, you would know. But this is Satan, so we got to figure it out. If you heard Satan right, I think he said, Tony Hearn ruins jokes and is a flat-faced wank pot.
Oh, my God. That's just, wow.
And then soon after that, Tony Hearn ruined a joke. And there's this tension. In Punky.
He ruined the joke first. Didn't you play those in order? One, two, three?
I did not. I went back and listened to Punky again to see what happened. This is totally uncharacteristic for Paulie B and Tony Hearn.
So where is Punky now?
To have this type of tension.
Where was Punky now?
What do you mean, where are they now?
I mean, like, at the end of the episode, were they back together? Were they still pissed off?
You'll have to listen to the full episode to figure that out.
Yeah, we're not here, you know.
That's right. I won't have to listen to 56.
We give them some advert.
Right.
But, you know, you got to listen to the show. They're part of the Pod Riot.
So check that out. Check out the last episode, the 666, if you haven't heard it. And then check out the next one to see if maybe they prayed to God and they're back together now.
Right.
Okay,
wow.
Then.
I got a phone call, did I tell you?
You didn't.
On the TTN hotline. Here it is. And tell me if you... I don't know what it is. What is this?
Bishop 4 to Rook 5.
That's it. That's what was on our voicemail.
That's a chess move.
Yeah, I know.
What is it?
Bishop 4 to Rook 5.
I don't
Is that code for something?
It could be.
Somebody else trying to, you know, trip us up, maybe?
Maybe they're
Bishop
using...
4 to Rook 5.
Maybe some revolutionaries are using TTN as their communication mechanism.
Right.
And we're
Bishop
not even aware
four
of it.
4 to rook 5.
Maybe we've just given out orders, and we don't even know it.
That's spooky, man. Spooky.
All right, now what that you've all been waiting for.
Whose fucking nostrils are breathing into the mic? I can hear.
That is not me.
I got to get windscreens for all you peoples.
Scott has big news.
Big balls?
This is huge news.
I thought you were going to say big balls.
No, big news.
Scott has big balls.
Huge news.
Huge news.
Huge news. I have proof that God does not exist. Does not exist.
That's background track? That's gripping.
Gripping. Where do we stand there, Papooch, on God? Where do you stand? Hello.
I don't know.
You don't know? What do you mean? You don't know if there is a God?
There is a God. But
there is a God.
But if there is a devil, Satan, that obviously was on Paulie B's 666 show.
Yeah, if you believe in that stuff.
But if there's a God, or if there's a devil, there's got to be a God.
Okay, so you're saying if Satan does exist, then there must be a God.
Correct.
Okay, but is he the Christian God?
No.
The Islam God?
No.
The Jehovah God?
No.
The Buddha God?
No.
Which God is he?
It's
the
God.
The Papooch God?
That's
I almost
right.
did it again.
Yes.
All right. Are you guys ready for the proof?
Ready.
See how Erica conveniently got up when she knew I was going to ask her that question?
I did that.
Here it is. Lioness in zoo kills man who invoked God. A man shouting that God would keep him safe was mauled to death by a lioness in the Kiev Zoo after he crept into the animal's enclosure. The man shouted, "God will save me if he exists!" He lowered himself by rope into the enclosure, took his shoes off, and went up to the lions. A lioness went straight for him, knocked him down, and severed his carotid
artery. He cut his carotid.
His carotid artery.
He's joining us. I'm John. He's Scott.
The incident Sunday evening when the zoo was packed with visitors was the first of its kind. At the attraction, the lions and tigers are kept in a animal island protected by thick concrete blocks.
Did you say lions and tigers?
Lions and tigers are kept in an animal island protected by thick concrete blocks.
Are those belted or radial?
Let me repeat what the man said before he lowered himself into the enclosure.
All right.
God save me if he exists. So now one
wow.
could argue that
wow,
he didn't have faith and he questioned God's existence. Therefore, he was mauled by the lions. Or one could say that God doesn't exist because he didn't save him. He would have communicated with the lions and said, "Don't eat this mental patient that jumped into the enclosure." But that did not happen. The man died, therefore God does not exist.
Wow.
Commentary?
Wow.
Feedback?
It's heavy, dude.
How about Erica deep. Got up because she noticed your drink was empty.
Nice.
So you're welcome.
All right, so does that story change your mind?
No.
Not at all?
Not at all.
You still believe in God?
I do.
Erica?
I do.
Even after that story?
You don't even have to ask me because you know my
story.
Answer.
I'm going to go with my rebuttal is John's story with the guy that was praying to God. And when he died, he goes, "Hey, how come you didn't save me?" And he goes, "I did. I sent you the fire boat. I sent you the ladder. And I sent you the helicopter."
Wow. Now I have a greater appreciation for your joke telling, John. I'd rather listen to that 300 times if from you than joining. Once from the Papooch. All right, then. Now, I was a deist before today, but now after that story, I am an atheist.
It's all changed.
There
wow.
It's all changed just because
wow.
of that.
Wow.
And nobody could have saw that coming.
I lied. I lied.
Who is your dad?
I broke alone.
What
does
he do? We're only at 15 minutes.
What do you mean we're only at 15 minutes? What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing.
What kind of wisecrack is that?
Yeah, Erica.
Mm-hmm. But I hope you leave enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine.
No doubt.
Next story.
Next story. Yeah. All right, now we did a 666 broadcast, John. And one of the stories we talked about is mothers that were fearful of giving birth to omen. omens.
Right.
Damien.
Yeah.
On 666. And look, there I've lost the story. But anyway, I have this other one. Pregnant women concerned their children would be born on the same day as the devil's number, 666, John, have been put at ease by claims from a priest that the date has in fact already passed. Jesuit priest and director of the Catholic Film Office, Dr. Richard Leonard, the re-release of the 1976 horror movie Omed, was unnecessarily worrying women due to the given birth on the date. In the film, the diplomat's child born at 6 in the afternoon of the 6th of June turns out to be the embodiment of the Antichrist. The significance of the 666 number comes from a passage in the Bible's book of Revelation which warns, "Calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a person," Dr. London said. The passage says that number is 666. Dr. Leonard said mothers-to-be should ignore that date because when Christianity took over the Roman calendar in the 4th century, the monk who compared the dates got it completely fucking wrong. We assume that Satan knows that the 6th day of the 6th month of the 6th was in fact the 6th of June 2002. Because Satan doesn't get that shit wrong. You know what I'm saying,
John?
That's
right. That's what I was trying to tell you last week.
Oh, was it? I thought you were telling me it was 616.
Right. That it could be wrong.
It is wrong.
Right. That's what I said.
It's totally wrong.
I'm a master debater. That's what I said,
Dr.
man.
Leonard says, "I take evil far too seriously to think the omen is telling me anything realistic or important."
What?
Historians backdated to confirm the timeline of activities in 1582. And it was discovered the dating was 4 years out. So this monk fucked everything up by 4 years. So it should really be 2010 right now.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Now I got it.
You
it
do?
Took me a while. Yeah.
Okay.
What he's saying is the guy who came up with the dating system, you know, the Anno Domini dating system, which he's fucked it up so much that even the Brits use it the wrong way.
Right.
But that doesn't hold true, because if a monk fucked up one, what does that do to the Gregorian-type calendar that fits this, too, by 2 weeks?
Say Gregorian again.
Gregorian.
Next story.
Gregorian. Gregorian.
Gregorian. What if the Papooch was the Antichrist? Wouldn't that be cool? He's in the financial industry.
Candy cane.
What if we pledged allegiance to the Papooch?
Gregorian.
When were you born?
On 666.
The number of June 6th.
When were you born?
June 6th.
January 10th.
Oh.
July 2nd.
January 10th. Nice.
1101.
Correct.
11001.
That would be correct, sir.
Oh, that's right. You said 2010. 1-10-10.
It would be 10-10, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, man.
I'm in binary code.
I'm a mathematical. He's a binary antichrist.
All right, I got some celebrity dues.
Dues?
Celebrity dues.
Well, there you go.
Jack Black in the news because he challenges Action Man Seagal to ring rumble. Jack Black is so impressed with his own wrestling powers after training for the new movie Nacho Libre. He's keen to try out his fighting skills on martial arts Action Man Steven Seagal.
Dude, listen.
The movie Funny Man trained with the real-life Mexican wrestler to play the spandex-clad hero of the new film. And he tells the American sports magazine Sports Illustrated, "I should take down someone who is strong, so Steven Seagal would be perfect. With his ridiculous Indian gear, ponytail, and swagger, he's the best fighter in the world in his own mind. So I'll take him down two notches with my anaconda squeeze and my face melter."
You fucker! You fucking bitch!
Black also quips he has developed his own unsavory wrestling move. It's called the Wind of a Lion.
Fucking!
And it's basically a submission hold. You get the guy down, you sit on his face, and then you release the lion's wind. That usually spells complete defeat.
Nice.
Another related, not related, but another celebrity news, John. Heath Ledger. Do you know who Heath Ledger is?
Yeah, he's another actor.
He's Enos.
He's Enos.
Enos from Broke. Did you see Brokeback Mountain? Oh. Pooch?
I have not.
You haven't?
I have not. I'm at this point. I probably won't because I think you did a pretty decent way of talking about the movie.
So, what's your take on gay marriage?
I actually saw it.
You being the Republican, what's your take on gay marriage?
I don't care if they want to.
Do you think there should be a constitutional amendment?
No.
Oh.
I don't care. You should be able to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Period.
Wow.
Period. So if you want to like...
If Scott wants to be Scott, so be it.
If Tony wants... Papooch wants
very,
to...
That's very liberal of
like
you.
Like Scott, then so be it.
To each their own, whatever
makes
you
happy. That's
very
liberal of you.
No, that's a realist and that's being... just a normal human being that's not being liberal.
Well, then, how's it coming from you, then? If it's being a normal human being.
Wow!
Ow! All right, then. Anyway, getting back to Heath Ledger. A water pistol attack left Ledger in tears.
Come on!
Heath Ledger burst into tears after paparazzi attacked him with water pistols at the Australian premiere of Brokeback Mountain in Sydney earlier this year.
Come on!
His father!
Poor baby.
The actor's relationship with the Australian press soured during filming for the new movie. The paparazzi decided to have the last word at the January premiere of his Oscar-nominated film. Ledger's father, Kim... What?
What?
His father, Kim, tells the Sydney Daily Telegraph newspaper his heart was broken when his son called just hours after the run-in saying he wanted to sell his waterfront home in Sydney and move to the U.S. permanently. He says, he's had to go into a cinema and do set food, soggy work. Is that
what?
A good Australian
what
accent?
Did he fucking say?
He cried all night. He rang me and said, Dad, is it? Sell the house. Ledger's father urged his son to think it over for 48 hours before making a decision. He says 2 days later he rang back and, Dad, I spent 47 hours and 57 minutes sell the house. The luxury property was sold for $7 million.
Whoa.
In March after Ledger relocated to Brooklyn, New York City with his partner Michelle Williams and their daughter Matilda. And the last... it is not the last celebrity story. But this one is about our favorite gal, John, Lindsay Lohan.
Oh.
Lohan slams Davis dating claims. Lindsay Lohan was hit out at U.S. Lindsay Lohan is hit out at the U.S. Royal Harris Barbara Davis after she told pals the actress was dating her grandson, Brandon Davis.
Really?
The matriarch insists Lohan and Davis, whose ex-girlfriends include Misha Barton, are an item, despite Brandon having been caught on video mocking the actress's lifestyle and personal hygiene. Barbara, the widow of an oil tycoon, Marvin Davis, told guests at Kenny G's birthday party in California, Brandon is dating Lindsay now. A spokesman later confirmed the story to Page6.com, but Lohan is furious.
Well, and Scott's broken up about it, too.
I am broken up because this is so hard to read.
Bigger font.
The publicist of Lindsay Lohan tells the website it is unfortunate that Barbara Davis is desperate enough to make up a lie about Lindsay dating her grandson. Lindsay took the high road and accepted Brandon's apology last week, but they are not dating, and they did not go dining together. Now get this last line from the publicist, John, and this is why we should be Lindsay Lohan's handlers, publicists, security, bodyguards. Get this last line.
Oh, imagine that.
Lindsay is dating several men who live overseas. Okay, so basically she's not dating anybody here.
She's a whore.
But when she goes to Europe... she's an all-out whore because she's dating several men over there. What is up with that?
I don't know, man.
You need a new publicist if you're Lindsay Lohan, I think.
Yeah, no
And I
doubt.
Think we're just the people to handle her career, don't you think?
The men.
We're the men.
All right, now our last celebrity story, and we're going to find out what true love is all about, okay?
All right.
True love. This is what true love means. The meaning of true love.
Lay it on me, brother.
Yeah, I'm talking about that? Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes.
Oh.
And I'm talking about true love. This is what it's all about.
All right. I like when her nipples stick out in Batman Returns. Begins.
Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes have agreed to a prenuptial agreement under which Holmes will get as much as $33 million. Now, think about love when I read this next paragraph here.
Think about love.
Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. I just read that. Okay. According to Newsweek, the contract will give Katie Holmes $3 million a year and up to $33 million for the period she is married to Cruise.
What?
If the marriage...
He's paying her?
Yeah. This is the prenup. If the marriage lasts longer than 11 years, then the contract will become void and California law will become applicable. And Katie Holmes will get half of Tom Cruise's fortune.
Wow.
Okay, so we can pretty much guarantee that the relationship is not going to last more than 11 years.
Yeah. Why is it? I wonder why it's 11.
I don't know. But it's $33 million, or $3 million a year, $33 million overall. So at the 11th year...
Meaning she will get $33 million, or $3 million each year after they divorce?
No. She'll get $3 million for every year she's married to Tom Cruise.
But that was a prenup. The prenups don't even start until after.
No. This is the prenup that says we're going to not follow California law for the first 11 years.
It's $3 million up to 11 years. That's the $33 million.
And then after that,
that's why it's a
forget the prenup. The prenup goes away and they follow California law, which means Kate will get half of Cruise.
Half.
But here's what I'm thinking, John. $3 million a year? If they do get married, this is worth, what, a couple $100,000? That's all she'll get.
Yeah.
It's only going to be like a couple of months, and he's going to dump her ass. And you know why they cap it out at 11 here? 11 years? I don't know if you know this, John, but he was married to Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, I do.
Did you know for how long?
11 years. 10.
Actually, no. It was like 9 years, 362 days.
Wow.
Because if it went 10 years... He had the same type of deal, and she would get half of his fortune.
Oh.
He's a fucking whack.
So she didn't even know he was going to divorce her. She found out from the press.
Okay.
Because he had a timeline to meet. He had a deadline to meet.
Here's the question, though.
Yeah.
Did she agree to it? And did she sign it?
I'm sure she did.
Of course. She was thinking that it was love.
Right.
Out of love, he promises her $3 million a year, 33 cap? What?
Yeah.
It was the same type of deal.
I asked Matt to sign a prenup before we got married.
Oh, no wonder he's your ex-fiancé.
Yeah, no shit. Oh, yeah, okay. I'll sign that.
Well, that was my only excuse after 4 years of being engaged. I had to come up with something.
Oh, I see.
Wow.
Hey, does he still listen?
Nope.
Oops.
Katie Holmes' parents have been trying to get her out of the relationship, but have changed their minds and now want her to marry Tom Cruise after the prenup, after they see the cash, the greenbacks.
What cash?
If she walks out now, Tom will fight her for custody of daughter Suri, and Katie cannot last him in court. She knows she needs to marry him to get the money to fight him for custody if it comes to that. Hopefully, their union will never reach this ugly stage. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes are reportedly planning a lavish summer wedding. And no signs of trouble have been leaked from their camp.
Oh, man. I don't think the parents would be that low. You think?
I think so, yeah.
Nah, that's sick.
It is sick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Hey, I was reading about the Da Vinci Code and how well it's been doing. Overseas, they say it's hot.
Hot.
So hot, passing the Passion of the Christ globally with 642 million compared to the 623 million, making Sony's religious thriller the 26th biggest all-time hit. As far as foreign box office, all the Hollywood studios expected deep slides because of the ongoing World Cup action. But Da Vinci Code added another 22 million internationally, making it the number one movie for the fourth week in a row and putting its foreign take at over $453 million. Now, this is what I found that was interesting. In the U.S., Da Vinci mustered sixth place with slightly blah, 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 blah. But then it comes to this part. Da Vinci, $189 million domestic, $453 million foreign. Winning the winning formula proved enough to surge past Passion's $370 million domestic and $253 million foreign. The point I'm trying to make is that here in the States, Da Vinci's not so hot, but overseas it is. The Passion was really hot here, but overseas it wasn't as hot. Meaning that we got all the Christian fucking wackos over here. And I think we talked about that before. It kind of shows that pattern. We talked about the creationists, that there's more here than there are over in Great Britain and around the world. They don't all believe in the whole.
In the whole
well,
what?
Finish your sentence.
Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve thing. Creationism.
We were all there, John. We were listening.
Where do you stand on that, Papooch? You a creationism or an evolutionary kind of guy?
I am an evolutionary guy. Oh, my God.
I did have another drink.
Hello.
Hey. It stinks.
Yo, Adrian.
That'll be on the Papoochie soundboard.
What?
I'm an evolutionary kind of guy.
Nice one.
There's number God. Three.
Kabonk.
You're fucking killing me.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, did I say Papooch?
No,
you said my last freaking name again.
All right.
You cocksucker.
No.
We'll just bonk out the complete identity of the Papooch.
Yeah, you're going to have to do that all the way through.
You sound kind of like Sly.
Part one, part two.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Hey, what does it sound like when Sly tries to start his car in a cold weather?
No.
Something like that.
Where'd your New York accent come from?
Who's?
Scotty.
New York. What? That's my Chicago. What are you talking about?
Chicago. Oh, okay.
I got brats.
Over
brats
by there.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Fuck that shit.
Forget about it.
I mean,
much better than his.
This is recycled.
Well, he's a woman.
Stuff.
Exactly. I should have done it right in the mic.
How are we doing on time? I got pissed like a racehorse.
We're at 32, Scott. We have 8 minutes.
We have 8 minutes left?
We have actually seven minutes.
Some science news.
I do too.
What do you got, John?
Well, I got a record meteorite hit Norway. I thought this was more interesting than funny.
A record meteorite?
A record. It was a record flying through the air, and it hit Norway.
Was it like Elvis's greatest hits?
Yeah.
What was it?
Dude.
78?
Quit stealing my thunder, man. You fucking asshole. You ruined my joke.
You cry like a fucking six-year-old.
Yeah, fuck you. You can't do it without me.
Fuck that!
Yeah! Okay!
All right.
Dead silence.
Fucker.
No doubt.
On Wednesday, residents of the northern part of Troms...
Just kill me now.
And I've lost the will to live, haven't I? Isn't it? The western areas of Finnmark could clearly see a ball of fire taking several seconds to travel across the sky. A few minutes later, an impact could be heard, and geophysics... I'm one of the children left behind. And Seismology Research Foundation, NORSAR, registered a powerful sound and seismic disturbances at 2:13 a.m. at their station in Karajak.
Karajak.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. A fucking meteorite just hit Earth. Isn't that kick-ass?
That is kick-ass.
There's nothing funny about it. I just thought it was kind of neat that finally we're getting pelted. Right, that's what I'm thinking.
But we don't believe in that.
But I was going to say, if Armageddon's happening, that ties into the whole God and devil, which
no, I think Scott laid it out perfectly in the last podcast.
Thank you, John.
What to do
right,
when
PSA.
The rapture. Yeah.
How do I? The how-to of the rapture.
Just in case.
Just in case it does happen.
So Scott figures he's saved since he said the little prayer on air.
Right.
And you are a pussy.
And then for every...
Oh, my God. Then, there's no God, but I'm going to say a prayer just then, in case.
Wait a minute. Then for every time that people play the podcast, God will hear my prayer again. You see?
Then you are a pussy.
So that'll be like 12 times he'll hear that.
My ass. What else?
I'm an atheist. I don't believe this. But I'm going to throw this fucking carrot out there just to play it safe.
Oh, you never heard of a fucking insurance policy?
Huh? Take your
money. Let me ask you this, cocksucker. When you get in a car and you drive down the street, do you think you're going to get in an accident?
I don't care.
Okay, so then why do you buy insurance?
Look, you were there when I ripped my door off my fucking car.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't care.
Obviously. You don't give a shit.
That's right. So, if
you're
gonna
fucking bitch.
Shut up. If you're going to live by the sword, die by the sword. If you've got balls, live with them and use them. Don't dick around.
His are in the freezer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Use your balls. Don't dick around.
Yeah, who painted that self-portrait of you? All right.
Sucker.
In other science news, John.
I'm going to pee.
The FDA said no sound scientific studies support medical marijuana.
What?
The FDA says that no scientific studies support medical marijuana.
Bullshit.
The FDA arguments, one, we're the ones who decide what's safe and effective. Two, states are politicizing science by legalizing medical pot without going through us. Three, our favorite study says pot isn't medically effective. Critics' arguments.
What?
One, well, our favorite study says it is effective.
Yeah.
Two, the FDA is politicizing science by ignoring our study in order to justify the Bush administration moral position against pot. And three, the real purpose of the FDA statement is to cow state legislators into voting down medical pot bills. Consensus. The feds are warning you that you can that they can bust you even if your state says it's legal.
Well, you know, Penn Jillette, his show Bullshit, came out and made a pretty good argument against how the FDA spins all their data.
Who doesn't spin? Everybody spins.
Not in the scientific community.
Everybody spins.
Even the scientists?
Yes.
Like who? The Korean guy?
Korean guy. Yeah, him.
Korean guy.
Galileo. Newton.
Come on, they didn't spin it.
Yeah, Galileo with the crap that we're not the center of the universe. What a bunch of crap.
These guys put together peer-reviewable documentation, not like the FDA. They say whatever. They're like a totalitarian regime within one.
Right.
No doubt.
Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Suck my ass.
And the last science
story. And we don't even smoke pot. We're totally against it.
Yeah, totally against it, except for medical purposes.
That's right.
I have a headache.
I have glaucoma.
Do you have anything?
Any pot?
Yeah.
I got an ounce.
Nice.
Hold on. All right,
hold on. Last science story. Eating pizza cuts cancer risk. Pizzas are covered with a potentially protective tomato sauce. Italian researchers say eating pizza could protect against cancer. Researchers claim eating pizza regularly reduced the risk of developing esophageal cancer by 59%. The risk of developing colon cancer also fell by 26% and mouth cancer by 14%, they claim. The secret could be lycopene. Lycopene, an antioxidant chemical in tomatoes, which is thought to offer some protection against cancer, and which gives the fruit its traditional red color.
Why would anybody listen to us at all? I don't know.
We're total talk nonsense, John.
Obviously.
It's obvious. It couldn't be more obvious.
All right, that's all the time we got, man.
Good, because I go to take
pieces. He's
my back teeth are floating.
We'll be back shortly. Hey, okay, quiet down over there, man. We're cutting out of a cast.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for... Part three.
Just one last click away.
At Total Talk Nonsense with Sean and Scott.